Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. We're 24 hours from NFL football kicking off. Which means, like, here's the advice, right? Like, oh, what do I got to do? Like, right? Fantasy team. You got to lock in your fantasy team. You got to get ready. You know? All right, we got Ben Roethlisberger's comments. We got Aaron Rodgers talking. We have great games upcoming. There's some college stuff. There's some baseball. Derek Jeter went in. The whole Hall of Fame thing with like Derek Jeter, who's one of the greatest players to ever play the game, and then like other guys who are like, we've completely screwed up this Hall of Fame deal. We just have. We completely screwed it up. And it's not those players that gets in fault, and it does feel like, you know, we're past the point of no return. But is anybody else kind of with me? Like, it's not that hard. It's not that hard to go, yeah, well, Derek Jeter is a absolute Hall of Famer. Like, I think the rules are really easy. If you don't get in, like, the first time, maybe you get a second time. If not, then you're not a Hall of Famer. Right? And if you're like, well, that's too exclusive a club, like, that's what it's supposed to be. You know? And then if you... And part of it is it's a museum and you're trying to make money and you got to bring people for all this stuff and more people that gets in. But I mean, just think of like Derek Jeter is unquestionably one of the greatest players to ever play the game. Unquestionably. But to put him in a Hall of Fame with a couple other guys who aren't in any way close to his level of success is kind of silly, isn't it? Really silly. Daniel Jeremiah is going to join us in a second. I think it's fascinating, some of these games this weekend. I was listening to his podcast earlier today. It's called Move the Sticks when I was driving around. We'll get to one of the topics on it. But I look at these games and I'm just in. NFL did a great job of spacing them out. Monday is, you know, you got Lamar, who's incredibly popular, electric to watch. And you reward the Raiders with the new stadium. You got the Rams against the Bears. And while I think Beyer had a good point, but Beyer's like, you know, I'm not really into that game. Bears are a huge national draw. Just are. The Bears are. And the Bears are a little bit of an under-the-radar team in terms of their level of success over the past couple years. Anybody realize that they basically have the same record as the Colts the last 3 years? Seriously. And the only difference is one win more for the Colts in the playoffs. And the Bears are a double doink away from having that one more win. Crazy, isn't it? That number is big. 7.5 is big when you have a defense like the Bears. And you have Matt Stafford, who the Bears have played a ton against. And you're playing on a fast surface. Yes, Dan, go ahead.
Don't you think, though, that the Bears are trending in a different direction than the Colts? Like, when we look at Matt Nagy and what we thought was going to be in Chicago, I mean, the double doink was the first year.
Yeah.
And last year, they made the playoffs, but I don't think anybody really considered them a playoff team. It was the first year that we had seven. Whereas the Colts, I think, have been a team that have, I don't know, I feel like, was on their way up, building with, you know, Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson, and now their defense with Buckner and Leonard. Like, I just think that they seem to be on two different trajectories. Like, we're not looking at Frank Reich losing his job, but we're looking at Matt Nagy possibly being out of work.
Right, but isn't that kind of helps me make my point a little bit. So let me flesh this out a little bit. I agree with you, but that's perception. Reality is the Bears did make the playoffs. Reality is that as much as we thought Matt Nagy comes in, offense from Kansas City, he's going to be great. Like, And we could sit there and go like, well, the Colts, we make excuses for the Colts with their quarterback position, right? Why don't we make excuses for the Bears with their quarterback position? I don't know. Daniel Jeremiah joins us. DJ, I point out that the Colts and the Bears have, they're the, essentially the same team record-wise over the past 2 years. The only difference is the double doink in the first year of the playoffs. Otherwise, they're both 2-1. You know, but they both have two playoff wins. So Dan brings up a really good point. It feels like the Colts are getting better and the Bears are getting worse. But again, I think a lot of that is the perception, was the reality is they have the same record over the past 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reality is you look at that one big year, and then since that year, the quarterback play just fell off so tremendously. And that was a high pick for them. So you look at it and say, okay, it's trending in the wrong direction, and they had to turn the page on a quarterback. So it just leaves you with an overwhelming sense that this is turmoil. Whereas I think when you look at the Colts, you kind of look at their draft specifically and say, okay, man, they've hit on Quentin Nelson, they've hit on Darius Leonard, they seem to be hitting on their high picks, and then you look at the crazy scenario that they had to navigate with Andrew Luck, and I think that's, I think you pretty much nailed it. That's where the free pass comes from.
Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's Daniel Jeremiah. Move the Sticks is his podcast. I do want to start with the team you cover. Want me to talk about getting thrown into the deep end. The Chargers' offensive line has been an abject disaster over the past couple of years, some because of injuries, some because of some choices they made or whatever. They rebuilt it in the offseason, and you can't get a better test for an offensive line than Washington, right? Like, that's, in any conversation, the best fronts in football. How do you think they'll hold up?
Well, I think two things. I think, number one, this is the best Charger offensive line they've had in a very long time. I think Filer is an underrated signing. He's the best guard they've had in quite some time. Obviously, you bring in Lindsley, who's a top center in the league, and I think Rashawn Slater is going to be a really solid player. But this is you hit it, man. Like, I studied them this week, just studying their front. Chase Young, when you watch him, when you watch that group, this sounds crazy. You could make an argument that he's the third best defensive lineman on their team when you really study them. Montez Sweat is a freak show. He's unbelievable. And then you've got Payne, who as an interior guy is such a dominant player. And that's not taking anything away from Chase Young. He's a special, special guy. I mean, this is just, it's a lot for a new group that's just come together to deal with. Now, the good thing is you've got an athletic quarterback and you've got a creative offense where you're going to be able to get the ball out of his hand quickly and try and move the launch point. But, I think we'll know more about this Chargers offensive line, 3 to 4 games in. But I wouldn't be quick to judge them on anything that happens in this first week. That's a tough one.
No, it is a tough one. Their schedule is really, really, really difficult. But it does feel like they have the talent. And now you got Derwin James back. I think it's going to be interesting. All right, let's start with tomorrow night. Let's go to tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Are we ever going to see the Ezekiel Elliott of a couple years ago?
I don't think so, personally. It is a chew-em-up, spit-em-out position. And to me, it's just you get your best years out of those guys those first couple years. And then, you might see flashes of it. To be able to maintain what he was during that time is going to be difficult, just as he's gotten a little bit older, as well as an offensive line that's a little bit long in the tooth. And some guys are healthy. Some guys are never going to be what they were. So I don't think we see that same version of Ezekiel Elliott.
Does that matter? Is their offense so talented that it doesn't matter that you don't have the old Zeke?
No, I mean, I think, look, I still think they could be a top five offense if he can just be a solid, steady player and a threat. Because of what they're going to be able to do in the passing game, they should be able to chuck it all over the place. So if they can just use him as a viable threat, not necessarily the dominant player that he was, but just be viable, I think they have a really good offense.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We had Marshall Faulk on. He was like, look, we lost London Fletcher. We lost a couple pieces after we won a Super Bowl. We weren't the same team, especially on defense. That's not the case with Tampa. On the other hand, it's really hard to get back outside the Patriots. Few teams, and now I guess the Chiefs, few teams get back to that same level. What do you think Tampa looks like early in the season?
I think it looked great on paper. you know, one of the things I'm curious about, outside of, you know, just can Tom keep it going, is this offensive line. Now, their offensive line played so well down the stretch. But when you really look at it, you know, in terms of just dominant defensive fronts, they played well against that Washington group. But I watched that tape this week. You know, they hit Tom seven times. They had three sacks in that game. You know, what's it going to be like when they're playing those upper echelon defensive fronts as the year goes along? That offensive line, I would say, works as an elite player. And outside of that, I would say those guys kind of all played above their talent level down the stretch last year. So can they repeat that? You know, that would be my thing to keep an eye on. I think defensively they're going to be maybe better than what they were last year. That front seven's ridiculous.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What do you make of Rob Ninkovich saying that he heard Mac Jones was actually teaching Cam Newton the offense?
I mean, it's not a couple things. Number one, it's not like Cam was in this offense for 10 years. I mean, he didn't have that much more experience in this offense than Mac Jones did. And Mac Jones came into the league with a reputation of, you know, that being a big strength of his. So, no, I mean, I guess it's not totally surprising. I wouldn't want to air that type of information if I had it. That's his choice to do that. But I don't think it's completely surprising when you look at it. It's just, you know, it's a compliment to Mac Jones if you choose to look at it that way. I know everybody's going to spin it the other direction, but that's the way I look at it.
All right, they match up with Miami, a team that, you know, whatever they really think of Tua, has been better in this preseason. But, Miami, we're told about their defense. Now they put speed outside the numbers. And, of course, New England's totally rebuilt their team. Now, the thing about New England is generally they use those first four games as, like, extended preseason. Suddenly they're favored in this game. Give me your thoughts going into Patriots-Dolphins.
I'm curious to see what the Dolphins do defensively because I know I'd be tempted if I'm Coach Flores to just say we are going to man up and we are going to send pressure. And we're going to see if Mac Jones can process that quickly to be able to get the ball where it needs to go. Because we feel like if not, he's not going to physically be able to get away from our rush. And is there anybody that will really, really scares you in this receiving core, you know, for the Patriots? The beauty of Tom was that it didn't matter because he was able to see it so clearly and could put the ball in a mailbox. Ridiculous ball placement. So I'd be trying to challenge Mac Jones from that standpoint. I look at the corners that they have and the defense they have in Miami. I'd be locked up and I'd be sending a lot of pressure.
I think Green Bay, New Orleans is a super interesting game, right? Where you have a quarterback in Jameis Winston who can make throws that they couldn't previously make. On the other hand, sometimes they're to the wrong team. Then you have Green Bay, and I don't know if you heard this. This was Pat McAfee earlier today had Aaron Rodgers on for his weekly hit. This is what Aaron Rodgers had to say about the offseason.
You know, it should be natural for a person of my status and age and experience, and it is. I think it really helps having, the other voices in the room. I mean, Maddie's like 41, Hackett's 40, Getsy's younger than I am by a few months. And the four of us, you know, put our heads together and talk through the plans and the ideas and the creativity. And it's a really good thing, I think, for our offense and for our room to be able to have those conversations.
Do you have any issue with him, Aaron Rodgers, going with my status and stature and age, right? Like, he's not wrong, but he kind of did the don't you know who I am.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that probably rubs some people the wrong way, but Tom Brady did that forever. I mean, you can go back to those, you know, when NFL Films followed him around for the year, and I remember him sitting in the room with Bill Belichick as they were kind of installing their plan offensively, which I don't think people knew that's how that was going down. And they're talking about Ed Reed and how they need to show Ed this because, you know, Ed's jumped this route in the past and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I mean, he's earned the right to be involved in that part of the process. And some people don't like Aaron because he comes across as so arrogant. And then other people say, like, I kind of dig the fact that he's just very matter of fact. Like, yeah, of course I'm doing that with my status in the league. Like, he's not telling any lies.
No, he's not telling any lies at all. Are they better?
I think so. I do. I think another year in this system, I think defensively, Talking to some of the teams, I think the Jets, one of the teams I was talking to that had spent time with them, practicing with them, said their defensive front's really, really good. I think they've got a chance. Their thing, and me and Bucky talk about this all the time on the podcast, is they find themselves in one of these punch-you-in-the-mouth games in the postseason, and they haven't been able to handle that. So, you know, that's going to have to wait and see. But in terms of being built for the regular season, yeah, I mean, they're going to score a boatload of points, and I think they're going to win a lot of games.
I tend to agree with you. Where are you on the Rams? We obviously, with McVay, we're never going to see their starters. They've tried to navigate the running back position. Where are you on the Rams?
I would say cautiously optimistic. I mean, I haven't seen them, right? So I haven't seen what it looks like with Matt Stafford. I know how talented Stafford is, and I know how good this scheme is. So, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. I would think they're going to be pretty dynamic offensively, but still don't know. I haven't seen it. So, defensively, they are star-driven, and they've got to keep their stars healthy. You know, if something happens to Jalen Ramsey, something happens to Aaron Donald, it's going to be tough. But they keep those guys healthy, that sets up the rest of their defense.
Two of the most talented teams in the league are Cleveland and Kansas City. Kansas City rebuilds their offensive line. One of Cleveland's strengths is their defensive line. How does that matchup fare out?
I like Cleveland. When I look at that front, I think that they keep this game really close. I think they'll be able to heat up Patrick Mahomes. One of the things that was interesting this week, Doug, is I did some digging on the youngest and oldest rosters in the league. And I'm always curious when you see the group of the youngest rosters, the top five, you know, youngest rosters in the league, is there anybody in there that's a really good team? Because usually that's a great sign. When you've got a really good team and you're really young, those are the ones you want to pitch your wagon to. And the Cleveland Browns, I believe, are the third youngest team in the NFL. And I would make a case that they have a top five or six roster in the NFL. That's why I'd be pretty bullish on the Browns' chances this year.
I want to get to the Baltimore Ravens. They're going to play against the Raiders, open up that new stadium. And the Ravens have been generally terrific in the regular season. But they've been terrific because they can really, really run the football. Now you got Ronnie Stanley coming off an injury, right? Bradley Bozeman, their center, has been hurt as well. And then they have, you know, they're working through all these injuries, you know, two of the running backs out, so that it's Gus Edwards and Tyshawn Williams. What do they look like early in the season with the kind of revolving door at running back right now?
I think you could see them maybe throw it a little bit more than they want to early in the season, until they kind of sort out that running back room. You know, it's a pretty, I don't want to say it's an easy offense to run in, but man, you were, you know, with so much misdirection and the accounting for the quarterback, it's a scheme that any running back would want to play in. So I still think you'll see a productive running back room no matter who's back there. But I could see them trying to maybe throw it a little bit more than they necessarily want to early in the season until they find their groove. But they'll be fine. They're going to play really good defense. They're going to be physical. That stuff, you know, I feel like the Ravens are one of those teams, Doug, that start the season with, you know, 8 or 9 wins. You know, they've got those in the bag. This is going to be physically tougher than 8 or 9 of the teams that they play. So then you just got to go out and win a handful more.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. DJ, can't wait to hear your calls of the Charger games. Love the podcast as always. Tell Bucky we said hello, and thanks for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Appreciate you, bud. See you.
He's the one and only Daniel Jeremiah. Move the Sticks, the podcast. See him on the NFL Network. Hear him call Chargers games on the radio. Want to look like $1 million, but only spend a handful of bucks. Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave, thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave wherever you shop. In-store online at dollarshaveclub.com. That's dollarshaveclub.com. All right, coming up next, this one to me is a lot of fun. A lot of fun. What do we make of college football's rankings now that everybody's played? Give you my thoughts next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Want to look like $1 million, but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for noticeably smooth shave, thanks to their 6-blade stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave wherever you shop, in-store or online at dollarshaveclub.com. That's dollarshaveclub.com. I love college football, but I have to tell you that ultimately, most things will work themselves out. We get really caught up in rankings, and you know, the perfect example is UCLA is 2-0, and you're like, how can you put them at 2-0 when they dominate an LSU and they beat the pants off of Hawaii? Is it only because they were not ranked to start the year? Personally, I would have put them, you know, above that of USC. Texas did look good against Louisiana Lafayette. Oregon was okay. You know, Penn State had a huge win over Wisconsin, and it was an awful game to watch until the fourth quarter when it was really exciting. But, like, you can't get caught up into all that stuff. You can't. Iowa plays Iowa State this weekend. You'll know who's better. Just watch them. You know, you'll have a good feel for, it's hard to get a good feel for how much better because they're playing each other. You know, Clemson only dropped a couple of spots, three spots, after losing to Georgia, and there's no offensive touchdown scored in the game. And they had some major injuries, some guys missing. So I just, to the people out there, like, the rankings aren't fair. They've never been fair. When have the rankings been fair? Just let it play out. If your team wins all of their games, they're going to go to the college football playoff. If they're in one of the big conferences, it's really that simple.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, Daniel Berger, Scotty Scheffler, Tony Finau, and Harris English all round out the American team for the Ryder Cup as U.S. captain Steve Stricker made his six captain's picks today. Ryder Cup, Doug, coming up in about 2 weeks from now.
You going?
No, I will unfortunately not be going. I would love to go. My buddy's going for a couple of days back home, but
who?
My buddy Brian. Yeah.
I mean, Brian?
Yeah.
You want to give him his last name?
Brian, okay. Campeau will be going to the Ryder Cup.
Will he just yelling obscenities because he's the American fan? Like, wearing, like, guys go crazy with the red, white, and blue when they go to those things.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It's really neat. It's funny, too. You know, as a golf guy, Whistling Straits has held the PGA Championship three times. There are a lot of memorable occasions on those or at those championships. But You never really saw, like, you know, a huge bleacher around the first tee. Maybe one, yeah, like right directly behind it. But, like, the first tee's like the best place to be in a match play event because everybody just gets excited, and it's usually one of the bigger places where you have spectators. And there's no guarantee, Doug, that a match is going to go to the 18th hole. So
right,
you maybe don't want to have too huge of a grandstand around 18.
So how is it because of the – I mean, obviously it's the first tee, but – how is the course? I know the course is beautiful. I know it's Lynn, yeah, style. I can visualize it right now. But is there space to have grandstands at other holes?
Yes, there is, and they've been able to do it. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of corporate tents, but it is not the easiest walking course because all of the hills there, and every single one of those hills, man made, because the ground was not like that until Pete Dye got his hands on it. And that's the tricky thing is there's. I remember the first PGA Championship they had there in 2004 because there's hills and sometimes you slide down on grass. And Ryder Cup, there's only four or five matches, you know, going on in the first couple of days on, you know, at a time. So it's not like you can bounce from the 12th hole and go see what's happening on 18 or 15 and move around like that. All, like, right, you're just following those four groups around the course in the morning session and in the afternoon session. So there's going to be a lot of movement because there's not action on every hole.
I actually wanted you, are you busy? Can you got a,
yeah,
second?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine.
Dan has a hell of a podcast called I Want Your Flex. Right? I want your flex. Okay, so, like, the big thing is that people get so excited. You're like, ooh, wait, how many my fantasy teams? I got to go check them all out. I got to go and get, all right. So right now with limited injuries, you know, there's going to be a couple of guys here or there, but Do you have a tip or two about guys that are available that you might want to go and stash and stow and put on your bench?
I'll say one thing. I would not go out and get Le'Veon Bell.
I think he's washed.
Yeah, I do too. I agree with that. And I know that there will be people running out to get him thinking, I don't know what they're going to do. And the only reason they got Le'Veon Bell was because Justice Hill went down with the Achilles injury. That was the move. It wasn't that J.K. Dobbins was done for the year that they needed to get Le'Veon Bell. They needed to get Le'Veon Bell because of Justice Hill's injury. You know, right now, there are a lot of guys that are, because there's some preseason hype, that maybe get hyped up in the preseason. I do think Rondale Moore, the rookie from Purdue in Arizona, is a guy that I've drafted in a couple of leagues late. We saw him get some action and be used in a different way with Arizona. I don't necessarily believe in their running game. Nope. I don't believe that their defense is going to be significantly better. And I think so they'll be trailing in games. It's a pass-happy offense, and right, I'm sure they try to be creative in getting the football to guys. So I like Rondale Moore as a guy that, maybe if he's out there, maybe you take a flyer on and see what he does week one, because Arizona and Tennessee, and you think you could see some points in that game as well.
You can't see me behind that bar, but I'm doing that my two fingers to your – like we're seeing eye to eye on Arizona. On Arizona. All right, I have a question for you guys, and Ramos, I'd encourage you to join in. Okay, so Cowherd has his podcast network called The Volume, right? So Bryce Young's the quarterback of Alabama, and earlier today, they announced that he's going to have his own pod on The Volume. So essentially, he's an employee for Colin Cowherd's podcast network. And this is all part of the NIL name, image, and likeness deals. And we're seeing other, I know there's other podcast entities that are employing people or sponsoring people, whatever. But like, look, Colin's in the opinion space, and now he has an employee, or somebody that he's giving money to, he's an employee, right? He's performing a service. He's having a podcast once a week. Is that kosher? Like, there's so many levels to it. And as I think everybody knows, like, Colin's my guy. And Bryce is a kid. He went to high school right down the street from me. I don't know, right down the street. 10 minutes from where I live at Mater Dei. Was supposed to go to USC. Decommitted, goes to Alabama. And now it looks like he's going to be a superstar at Alabama. So I get the whole business model of it. I guess I'm just wondering, and it's not like this is hardcore news, but like Alabama plays, he plays terribly. Can you rip Bryce Young? Can you be critical? Or when you make your picks and they're sponsored by a gambling entity, like how does that all work? Like obviously Bryce wouldn't make them, but they are tied to the podcast network. And if you pick Alabama to lose or somebody else to cover, there's the sense of inside information. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's this whole brave new world and this law of unintended consequences. Sure. And this is a perfect example of it.
I do think that times have changed a little bit, because Doug, you even said it on the show. I said it 100 times. We talk about the teams that we root for. And I think that 20 years ago, maybe that wasn't kosher. Like you felt like you couldn't be a fan of any team, but I do think that has changed. And even the it's funny because the show that everybody knows about that kind of really started sports talk radio, Mike and the Mad Dog. Dog was a huge San Francisco Giants fan. Never hit it on the air, but so this has been going on a long time. The point that I'm saying is sometimes people say, well, you can't say you're a fan of the team because then you're going to be biased towards them. You can't have an objective eye. I'm not saying that Colin's a fan of Alabama, but if that is affected by his opinion, then it's a problem. But if it's not, then I understand the conflict of interest maybe in other areas, but for a sports talk show host, in this case Colin, if he's can be critical of Alabama, then I'm fine with it. But if his opinion changes because of it, then that's a different story.
What about you, Ramos? What do you think?
I think it's kind of an iffy thing. But I mean, if that's what Colin wants to do, and that's what the guy wants to do, and he's not going to take away from doing his job as the quarterback of Alabama, then I think it's okay. You know, I mean, that's his main focus, right? I mean, that's
I'm not talking about focus as much as just like, can you look the hardest part, and this is where I respect Colin, right? The hardest part about his job being on, he's on Fox, on the TV, when you're on the TV side, is you have, it's hard. If you're critical of the NFL, you got to be smart about it. They're a rights holder, right? There's a relationship there. You got to be, and you know, like, you got to be smart if you're critical of the Big Ten. They're a rights holder. You got to be able to still do your job and have your opinion. And sometimes your opinion is, hey, they're not that good. But now you're actually employing a college kid. And like, he played great the other day. And I think he's a hell of a player. It's not a surprise to anybody who watched him play in high school. No one. But, I mean, what if he's not that good? What if they're not that good? Like, does it change his opinion? And he's paid for his opinions. And I'm using this as the micro for the macro, which is this kind of brave new world of name, image, likeness. Am I making sense there? That like, this is not in any way an attack on Colin, but it's a perfect example of things that people didn't think about with these types of ties.
Yes, absolutely. I never thought that this would come out of Pandora's box.
Me neither.
That guys would, you know, be hired to do podcasts. I just thought it would be show up at the car dealership on a, you know, a Sunday afternoon and sign some, you know, t-shirts and hats.
Right.
And this is not how I necessarily thought. Actually, to John's point, you know, just about, I wonder what Nick Saban thinks about it. I mean, you know, you're taking your time to do a podcast. Do you say something that may, you know, offend another team, or, you know, how? I wonder what Nick Saban thinks about it.
Yeah, I mean, the second you say something bad about a team, they shut it down. They shut it down.
Sure.
Right? And then you're like, okay, well, can you shut it down? Does he have to give back the money? Does he still get the money? Like, how does that all work? What happens if he has a couple bad games and he stinks and they pull him? Like, do you pull the play? Like, there are some unintended consequences. But I think the big thing is if you say the wrong thing, but if you can't say the wrong thing, you can't say what you really think. Like, what if you play a team and you're like, they stink. They were terrible. Right? And you like pull the podcast, like, okay, so you want me to say like everything's great? Who's going to listen to that podcast?
Doug, I know you can't relate because you're not in my shoes or John's shoes, but I got into radio and sports because I wasn't a 4 or 5-star athlete. And now these guys are getting into the business because they are 4 and 5-star athletes. Different time.
No, I mean, listen, I mean, I'll be honest with you, like, as you know this, I skip steps. Like, it's completely unfair. The idea that I filled in one summer for a week in Stillwater for a guy named Robert Allen, and I got to fill in for a couple of other people nationally, a guy named Todd Wright all night. But that was after I was out of college, right? But I filled in once. I didn't take any broadcast class, and if I was you, or if I were John, you know, John's grinding at Laverne, doing play-by-play with his quasi Chick Hearn and
Vin Scully.
And Vin Scully.
Right. He was a combo.
Co-imitation, yeah. Steve. It was a combo together. Meanwhile, I'm hanging out at the Wormy Dog Saloon on Wednesday night and a penny beer, you know, building my brand that way, right? So, but yeah, I mean, it's totally unfair what happens when you're that guy. And these guys are much more that guy than I was. But I'm interested in the conflicting alliances and how all that works. And it's a crazy, crazy world. One of the top wide receivers in fantasy football didn't practice today. What's it mean? We'll tell you next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day this time, we get you caught up in as many stories as possible. Actually, we don't. By we, I mean Dan Beyer does. Let's get to the press.
the press.
Discover matched all the cash back you earn your credit card. The end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Buyer.
Dan.
Buyer.
Doug, let's start out in the National Football League. News just in as New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell says that she believes that the Saints will be able to play their second home game of the regular season at the Superdome in New Orleans against the Giants. How the schedule plays out, that game isn't until October 3rd, so that's not until week 4. The Saints will be on the road in week 2 and 3, but the Saints should only have one of their regular season games moved, and that's week 1 against the Packers.
Four, well, and that, look, four. Listen, that's good news. Obviously, that area was just, of the many areas, just absolutely slammed by the hurricane. Well, it went up to the Northeast. I don't know if you saw some of that footage in the Bronx, right, where you had massive flooding as well. Obviously, much worse in New Orleans. But the Saints are really, really tied to the city. It's a shame that can't make it work for this Sunday against the Packers, but at least it's only one game, right? It's a good scenario, all things considered.
Doug, I've wondered on how will life be in an 18-week, 17-game NFL regular season? Will teams be cautious maybe with players early? Is it more of a longer run? Well, week one, there are already some injury situations we need to take note.
I'm writing them down. Yeah. Go ahead.
No practice today for Titans wide receiver A.J. Brown. Rode a bike on the side coming off of a knee surgery. And so A.J. Brown, it's only Wednesday. Titans have the Cardinals coming up on Sunday. But another name of note, Austin Eckler not practicing with the team, just doing work on the side at the start of their practice, according to The Athletic. So Austin Eckler, running back of the Chargers, a bit limited early on this week as they get set to face Washington.
With a growing injury.
And Saquon Barkley was limited in practice today, as was Giants wide receiver Kenny Galladay.
Do we think Saquon's going to play this weekend?
I think it sounds like it. It really does. How much of, you know, will he shoulder the load? I don't know, but it sounds like he's trending that way.
Yeah, do people, and I understand, I'm sure there's been some work in practice, you know, around guys. I don't think has anybody hit him? Like, can you imagine going from tearing your ACL to playing week one in the NFL?
I thought he did take part in some padded practices.
Some padded practices he did, but I don't know if anybody was allowed to hit him.
Yeah. It says right. 2 days ago, went through a padded practice. I don't know about the status of today, but was limited in practice.
Limited.
Was the way that the Giants have phrased it. Doug, some more news from the National Football League. Carson Wentz, a full participant in practice. He will start week one against the Seahawks.
Well, and this is a huge year for him, but amazing how he's come back from that broken foot. Of course, as you pointed out, his star right guard who had the same injury, it's not his foot, it's his back now, right?
Yeah, for Quentin Nelson.
Yeah,
a bit of his back. University of Cincinnati officially applying to become a member of the Big 12 Conference, according to USA Today. Something we expected.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting league. Like, they're just kind of teams. Cincinnati gives them a footprint in Ohio. There's players in Ohio. Florida obviously gives them a footprint in Florida. BYU is a national brand, and Houston fits. I mean, that program is not where it was, but they've invested a ton of resources into it, and it's an unbelievable area in terms of recruiting. Like, all that makes sense. The big question still remains, will they remain considered one of the Power 5 conferences? And I don't know the answer to it. I think the answer is yes, as they need the SEC to do them a solid and say, like, all right, we'll keep you in. You'll get a team in the playoff, and let's go.
Derek Jeter enshrined into baseball's Hall of Fame today.
The greatest people and players in this game, the Hall of Fame family, they're watching. So I wanted their approval. You know, during my career, I wanted to make Mrs. Robinson proud. I wanted to make Hank Aaron proud. I wanted to make all you behind me proud. Not of statistics. Proud of how I played the game, how I carried myself, and how I respected the game and those before and after me.
Jeter enshrined alongside Larry Walker as part of the class of 2020 in Cooperstown today.
Derek Jeter hits a home run on his 3,000th hit and goes, was he 5 for 5 in his last game? Something like that? Something crazy.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
I didn't even like Derek Jeter, but how could you not like that, right? How could you not like that? But the idea, again, like, that's a Hall of Famer. Guys that, no disrespect to Larry Walker, he was a great player, but he's in the Hall of Fame. One's a Hall of Famer, the other one's in the Hall of Fame. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Well, tomorrow we have football, NFL football. Lots of picks. We'll get you ready for Thursday night football. In the meantime, enjoy your last day of sanity. It's Doug Gottlieb Show.